Thank you, Maestro. Welcome back to Morning Glory. A little bit later, we've got a slice of dinner. Going to talk to Brian To'o and Geez Can't He Play. Thanks, Scoop. But it's time for Webster. Never thought forever was the best I could do. Yes, for our SENQ listeners up there, that is the theme for the old sitcom Webster, starring Emmanuel Lewis, the Papadopoulos family. I just got that song out of my head from last week.
I know,
2 weeks ago.
In.
Yeah,
it's a little worm, an earworm.
What do you got for us, Webby?
The Roosters. Let's talk about the Roosters. Okay, they're at a really interesting crossroad,
junction?
I reckon. A junction, if you will, vis-a-vis a crossroad.
It's an intersection.
Yeah, something's going on with the Roosters. Yeah. Very interesting move this week to sign Matt Lodge for the rest of the season,
yep,
for six matches.
Yes.
A deal around 100,000, beat both Melbourne and Parramatta to it. I think it's a really interesting signing in the sense that the Roosters have a very strong culture. They talk about, you know, man first, player second. That's how they recruit. Trent Robinson, the coach, came out this week and said that he'd had a long talk with Matt Lodge about where he's at, both in his life and his football, after he left the Warriors. Said it was different to the type of bloke that he had interviewed 7 years ago about possibly coming to the club. It just doesn't seem like a Roosters type of player.
Brayton Astor was very strong at 360.
He was really strong.
He just went, I don't get this.
So for me is that they seem to be in a real state of flux at the moment. Mm. Big questions about the future about Luke Keary, although they're adamant that he will play again. I know Luke was adamant after he suffered that concussion a few weeks ago. I texted him. He said, mate, there's no suggestion that I'm not going to come back at all. But he was also only going to be out for a couple of weeks, and it seems to have extended that a little bit.
Says a lot how much it's affected Luke physically, but mentally. But I mean, like, affected his confidence and how he goes into the game. When you see him get knocked out now, it's almost like he's distraught. It's like it's happened again, and he ruled himself out.
He ruled himself out, which is, mate,
a lot of players, it takes a lot.
I reckon, they're outside the eight at the moment. No one would have thought that. A lot of people tipped them to win the comp this year,
remember.
I just find them at a really interesting part of where they're at the moment. They're in a state of flux. Nick Politis slices and dices. Oh, we slice and dice the microphone. Yeah. He doesn't sit on his hands, Nick, and will make changes. Manu going into six.
Wow.
After the stormer that he had for the Kiwis at fullback, as we saw on Saturday. I just wonder where the Roosters are going to go from here. It seems like a club that's ready for change.
This, for the Penrith game tonight, this is going to be really, really interesting. Penrith got a lot of guys backing up. I'll tell you, the interesting thing about it is the Roosters, I think one of the things that hurts the Roosters this year is been a lot of playmakers, and they've lent themselves to being a little too structured and a lot too sideways. Manu going into six, tonight there'll be a middle field assault. Mm. Tedesco and Manu in tandem going at Penrith through the middle. Mm. I think this is going to be a lot closer than we think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look, I actually really like Manu to six. I was kind of feeling Manu to six earlier in this year, even at the start of the year, just because I like his big body in defence as well. I think that a lot of teams really do target their three in defenders, not because they're not brave, not because they're not good defenders, but even if Sam Walker and Keary make their tackles, usually it's around the legs and it's a quick play of the ball. I like Manu at six because it adds size to that role. And also, in attack, I just think that the Roosters thought that the transition of Keary to seven was going to be a bit smoother, and it does. And it seems to me that Keary is just an out and out six.
Do you know, it's funny, Dan. Before ball was kicked this year, we discussed it on this show. They reminded me, like, I was one of those sides that said, who's going to make the grand final? I went, well, either going to be the Melbourne Storm, and I reckon it'll be the Roosters. Mm. I thought, you know, the Panthers. It's hard to go back to back. The fact they'll all play rep football may wear them out a little bit. And then I thought to myself, sometimes the gods of football have got a funny way of playing tricks on the obvious. And the best example I can use is the 2017 North Queensland Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys lost Thurston, yet made this amazing run and made the grand final. Mm. And Michael Morgan on fire. And everyone went, wow, wait till they get Thurston back. And everyone in 2018 predicted that they'd win the comp.
Yeah.
And had it, they might have finished second or third last. Mm. Now, the Roosters season isn't going to be as catastrophic as that. But it's just, it's an example. Sometimes when you think something's going to happen, it doesn't.
You know what I reckon? Remember when they played the Storm at the cricket ground a few weeks ago?
Yep.
They were rolling in that game. They were, I thought, and so was Keary. Keary looked the best he's looked in years. And Tupanua, remember that Walker's kick across, Tupanua drops the ball over the line, and then Storm went down the other end and scored. I reckon that was the turning point of their year.
Mm.
Like I remember watched that game and I went, you know what? That's the Roosters are finally starting to get their groove back, but they haven't had it. Then look what happened against Parramatta.
I saw him play at Anzac Day. It's the only time I've seen him play live, and I think it sort of symbolises where their football was at. Against the Dragons, they just skimmed across the Dragons' defence.
Mm.
It was skim across, hit one side, lay it in, skim across the other way. It was almost like, you know, sheet music in the fact that everything was in rhythm and they were doing everything fine, but it just had no crunch and it had no penetration in it.
Mm. Yeah, the Roosters, they're a really interesting side. I think also we have to... The way I look at the Roosters is they've had these like key players that they were thinking, okay, for example, last year, Teddy stepped up and essentially became another six for them.
Yeah.
Manu stepped up as well towards the end of the year. Then this year, I feel like they were sitting going, okay, Victor Radley's going to come in and he's going to be our link man, similar to Isaiah Yeo, and then he's been in and out. And I think they're a bit unsure as to who their guy is. Like, who is their guy? Is it Keary? Is it Teddy? Is it Radley?
Yes.
Is it Sammy Walker?
Mm.
And I just don't know whether they know who that guy is yet.
I totally agree with you.
They're very sensitive about Luke's longevity. Mm. Whenever I raise, like, you know, what are you thinking with Luke's career? And I've talked to Luke about, you know, he's got 2 years to run, and, I think he'd be stunned if he got to the end of it himself, you know. He's a very practical
Roosters
guy, Luke.
Do
and
prote-
a really, sorry.
Credit to the Roosters, they do protect their players. Like they were saying
they
with
do.
Boyd.
Mm. They were. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they're very, look, they're such a strong club.
Yeah.
You know, you're right, they're very interesting because they're at a crossroad, a juncture.
T-intersection.
Vis-a-vis a T-intersection.
They're approaching a light. Suddenly it goes yellow and they're saying, do we put the accelerator down or we change tack to do a left?
As opposed to the West Tigers who are at a roundabout.
Big
sorry,
Ben.
Tigers. I've been bashing the Tigers.
Just quickly.
I love the Tigers. Mm. Love them.
Who wins? Okay, who wins tonight? And if we all go Penrith by how many? As I said before, I love Manu in the middle with Tedesco. I think they'll cause a few problems.
Well, the Eels, when they beat Penrith, it was a power game through the middle. It was dominating early, because the thing with Penrith is that they're so deeply connected to Fisher Harris and Leota, just playing really high pace through the middle. And so if Roosters can win that battle in the first 10 to 20 minutes, which actually went well against the Eels a few weeks ago, the Eels' offloads really did give them a bit of trouble. So I wonder whether Joey Manu and Tedesco just playing so quick through the middle doesn't give Fisher Harris and Leota time to be as quick line speed. And you know, all that kind
Webby,
of stuff.
It's one of those things, isn't it, now with Penrith, where I'm sitting there going, yeah, Manu, But it was oftentimes where you look and you say, New South Wales, mate, they're a chance. We've got this bloke going good there. Then they cut to the sheds and you go, oh, they got Cameron Smith. We're no chance. Nathan Cleary's getting to that level where you go, yeah, I think they're a chance. And I just went, but hang on, Penrith have got Nathan Cleary.
They'll have their tails up, Penrith.
Yeah, confident Nathan
after
Cleary.
After all those New South Wales guys come back. What are you doing my second item?
Yes.
A second item.
I love it.
The fight for Sam Burgess.
Oh, yeah. I think he will be a first grade coach within 5 years, Sam Burgess.
And where?
Interesting. I think Souths have always looked at him as a potential coach. My son Jackie, who had 2 years at Souths, said that he's the best leader that he's ever had come in contact with him. I said, even better than Daddy.
He's had in a Dr. Evil voice.
Dirt $1 million. Yeah, I think Webby.
So Wayne's after him as an assistant coach of the Dolphins. Russell, as I'm as it's been explained to me, is red hot on him staying or coming and staying within the South
Sydney. Two big personalities after him.
It is. Who wins, the Gladiator or Mr.
Burns? I see another one. Phil Gardner might be pretty keen on him at the Knights, and who can knock them?
Hey,
boys, can I change tack before we take a break, sure. Webby? And by the way, excellent, mate. It's probably the best Webster we've had yet. You've really hit the big points. Congratulations. Fellas, little change of tack. We're going to movie of the week after. This is a segue into that. Monday, I went and saw Baz Luhrmann's Elvis.
Oh, how was it?
Spectacular.
Really?
It was absolutely brilliant. It was fantastic. And Trish and I walked it. It was the 4 o'clock session on a Monday, of which at that session, you usually got the cinema to yourself. Mm. And we walked in. It was like the old days of the films, like 60-meter line to the box office. Wow. And on a Monday after, and I sat down and I'd heard all the reports, people, you know, some of the people going, oh, it's an absolute mess, it's impossible to follow. Believe me, people, if you're one of those people that there said you cannot follow this movie, then you do not know the life of Elvis Presley. Because it is, in my opinion, it is just perfectly done. It goes without saying that the soundtrack's fantastic, but it's a spectacular movie. Austin Butler, who plays him, is insane.
What's
good.
The age like? Is he getting into fat Elvis, or does it just?
It starts off with him as a kid, skips off to him as a teenager being found by Colonel Tom Parker, and then rolls through his whole career. It was when he went through his really rebellious stage. They tried to turn him into a more conservative Elvis, you know, stop with the hips and all that sort of stuff. And he just gave him the middle finger and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he was basically given the option, you go to jail, we'll find a way to put you to jail, or you go to the army. And he went to the army, and then it picks up off the back of that. And his Vegas years, his comebacks, wow. It's insane.
Oh, wow. Sounds good.
It is. It's really good.
Because Baz Luhrmann, what was he like? Was his last one The Great Gatsby?
Gatsby.
That was a train wreck.
Well, the one before that, Australia, was really bad.
That was really bad.
That
wasn't
was a
it?
Complete and utter bludger.
Yeah,
it was. Romeo and Juliet, sensational. But this is his
Strictly
finest
ballroom.
Work.
That was
Strictly
good.
Ballroom, fantastic.
The guts to get to do the Elvis thing, like, what do you as a young actor?
You need an ego to do Elvis, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, like you're a young actor.
I think
comes across your desk.
I think Baz has got it covered.
Yeah, I got a feeling. Sure has, Scott.
You're a young actor. It comes across your desk. Are you almost too intimidated? Like, oh, I don't know if I want to do Elvis.
Man.
Crazy. And he clearly nailed it.
He's insane.
Wow.
He is so good in it that you actually, at the end, and spoiler alert, no. Well, actually, as I was leaving the cinema, I'm walking out and there's this elderly couple about to go into the next session. I walked out, went, spoiler alert, he dies at the end. Right?
And what did they say?
She went, oh, thanks very much.
Oh. But, now, you'd be a gold class sort of guy, wouldn't you?
No, we did, mate. I'm a man of the people, mate.
Flying economy,
no,
and you're
words,
watching movies.
No, you're
this is crazy.
I walk onto a plane, I turn right. Right? I go into a train, I go in economy in the train. I go into a cinema, I just like the suit, mate, the normal suit. I don't like laying down. Those
you know
gold class too far at the front.
If I go to gold class, I fall asleep.
Do you? That's yeah, a bad sign, the class of the movie you're watching.
No, but because it's so comfortable.
They are.
Okay. Start snoring away.
What about this? Like, could you... Okay, could you go to the cinema at Hoyts and say, can I buy, it might be the secret to a good night's sleep, can I buy one of those gold class suits and take it home and bed?
I'm a bad sleeper, maybe that's what I need.
Or just camp out there, stay there. Just say, mate, can I at least $100 a night?
Can I sleep here tonight?
We'll take a break. After the break, Blues assistant coach and inspiration, Liam Alexander with Movie of the Week.